Sometimes your business evolves faster than your brand and suddenly you don't recognize what you've built anymore. And we have totally been there. So I am so excited to be back for episode 6 of the Agency Diaries. Possibly one of my favorite guests that we've had so far. Not that you're allowed favorites. But Matthew, thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I can't believe you're on the pod with us.
I feel like I've jumped the queue. I feel like this podcasting is in high demand.
Well, I hate to say it, but it is in high demand.
Yeah.
And you are, in fact, I knew I wanted you on here because I know that we've got lots to talk about, but also we've got good vibe, hey?
I mean, game recognises game, doesn't it?
Do you know what I mean?
You know?
And I'm here for it.
Kate, I'm so happy to be here. Oh. We're going to have some good conversations, I think.
We are. So that leads us in really, really nicely. Tell me who you are, tell me where you're from, and tell me what you guys do. I know it, but for our listeners.
This is my favourite topic.
Yeah.
So my name is Matthew C. Goff, and I run Eugen Agency. We are a branding studio out of Birmingham. And we specialise in working with frontier tech startups and scale-ups, helping them to stand out, make an impact, define who they are, and ultimately enable them to sort of show up into the world, giving them the best chance of success, really.
Love that. So let's just go back into agency world, right? So the Agency Diaries was set up out of a little bit of frustration, a little bit of, I feel like I'm always on my own. And we've got a good vibe. We talk a lot. And I think what's really important to me is that we open that floor for agency world, agency life. So you are in the agency world. Mm-hmm. You have a branding studio. But let's just go into a little bit around like what you guys do, because branding is huge. The topic itself is massive. Like, what do you guys specialize in terms of, you know, the output of work? And also, like, what are you sick at?
What are we sick at? Okay, again, another topic that I absolutely love. First of all, you're right. Just touching on the agency topic, it can be a super lonely place. It's bloody hard, right? So yes, being able to have these types of conversations where people know that, you know, the struggles, the pains, the wins, the downs, it's a constant ebb and flow, isn't it? So being able to have these conversations where people can riff off each other, learn what levers they should be pulling, what trapdoors they should be avoiding, is super important. So you're right, branding is a huge topic, right?
We've got time though.
We've got time and we can get into it. Branding is a huge topic. Really what we're here to do is to help you differentiate ultimately, right? Okay. And right now in the age of AI, right? Super hot topic. It's never been more important because frankly, branding and design, right, visual identities, has never been more, frankly, accessible to a lot of people.
Mm.
Everybody can do it. Everybody can get branding. Everyone can get logos, right? But that just means that because it is more accessible, it means everybody else in your category is also, you know, can also access that stuff, right? So it's never been more important. Everybody gets to look good now, frankly, without a designer. So it's now super important to be able to find that white space. What is that area where nobody else is occupying in your category? And how do we position you both visually, verbally, in terms of your positioning, your messaging, how you talk? How do we put you in that category so you are a category of one?
Yeah.
Right? Because people are always going to be doing their due diligence if they're looking at working with you, a company. They're going to be doing their due diligence, right? They will line up 8, 9, 10 different companies that perhaps are doing the same thing, and they're all comparing them against each other. So what we need to do is make sure that when they come across your brand, you are distinctly differentiated, so they know that you are a different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
They cannot be compared to these other people. And now I'm really interested in having a conversation with this company.
Yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we've spoken about AI, or we have a lot outside of the pod, but it is, you know, it's something that's coming into all of our worlds, whether it's agency world or whatever outside of that. And it's only going to evolve. And I think, you know, when you think about branding, it's like you say, the most important part to it is the foundations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you guys like excel at what you do. you know, we sit in a really creative world and we have designers, we meet brand agencies, you know, all the time. And I think what really stood out to me when I first met you was like, you are on the forefront of what you're doing. Like, you are changing up what design is. And I think for me, that's what really stood out when I first met you. It was, these guys really understand what's in my head, number one, which is, I don't even understand that.
Yeah.
But also, two, how to then articulate that. And exactly. That then goes back into that.
Exactly. And with something like design, right, it can be so subjective. And how you translate words, ideas, frankly, if you're outside of that world, you've got it in your head, you know it's in there somewhere. How on earth do you articulate that? How do you explain that? How do you get that out of your head? That's our job.
Yeah.
So it's our job to sit down with you, understand what you stand for, understand what your goals are, understand where you want to take your brand. And it's our job to distill words into something visual so that we can put that back in front of you and hopefully get that wow moment where you go, I don't know how you did it, but whatever was in my head, this is what I'm looking at and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as well, like, or maybe purely in the agency world, because it's a creative world, 9 times out of 10, do you see that people come to you and they have that vision already? Like, they have some form of idea of what they're trying to achieve.
They do. Oftentimes, in my experience, people don't necessarily know what good looks like, or they don't know what's achievable.
Yeah.
Right? So again, surface level design is everywhere, and that's what people are looking at all the time. But the bar is constantly being raised. Oftentimes people don't really know what is achievable. So again, it's our job to push boundaries.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're here to do. We don't tick boxes. We are here to push boundaries. And you've seen it with the work that we've been doing together. We will challenge you, and we would rather push things a little bit too far.
Yeah.
Rein it back in if we need to. But that's how we, you know, create bold identities that are really going to stop the scroll. It's going to catch the eye.
Yeah.
And it's going to get people talking.
So maybe that's a good time to mention why we've been working together at a really top level.
Okay.
Oh, first look.
This is exciting.
Oh. So our agency is looking at the next sort of stage of the new era, let's say. And you guys have obviously been supporting us with that. And I think the whole process of working with you on that has been really interesting for me, because our agency started as me on my own. And I was a freelancer, and now this is like the next evolution of it. So to have experts like you guys who are so good at what you do and can just challenge me, which is also a really important part, isn't it? It's that, you know, challenging and not going, yeah, Kate, you're right, because actually you're experts. I'm not at branding, which is why I've asked for your support, right? But I think it's a really interesting journey for me. And it's also a bit of self-discovery. I feel like we're doing a bit of that as well. Like, it's how can we take a brand that's just me and evolve it into more so an identity?
Yeah. Again, what got you here isn't necessarily going to get you where you need to go, right?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there is a time to bootstrap. There absolutely is a time to bootstrap. We work with a lot of early stage startups, and just as much as we do with later stage startups and scale ups, there is often times where we will talk to somebody and we will tell them to save their money. We'll say, do not invest in this right now because you need a little bit more clarity, or there's better use of your funds, for example, right? So there is absolutely a time to bootstrap, but you will know in your heart when that moment is, when you have sort of reached that plateau, or something inside you will say, we need to level up, because this, the way that we are being presented right now, we have outgrown. And again, we see it oftentimes in our industry with tech startups. They outgrow themselves very quickly. They're constantly raising, they're constantly validating, perhaps they're pivoting if they're slightly earlier. So yeah, it's a very fast paced environment. And oftentimes you will be putting yourself out there. Your business may have moved on, but the way you are being presented, what people see is still perhaps where you were 12 months ago.
Yeah,
I know how far we've come in 12 months, right? A lot can change for a company in 12 months. So if you're still putting yourself out there, You're not necessarily sort of representing yourself. You're doing yourself a bit of a disservice.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's important that when that moment feels right to you, to listen to that and to explore avenues to say, okay, I've got big ambitions of where I'm trying to take my brand. Perhaps we're expanding, perhaps we're pivoting our niche slightly, whatever it might be. Super important to make sure that you are putting your best foot forward, because people are, you know, that's a credibility checker.
Yeah, massively. Right?
People are going to be looking at your brand and they are going to be making a snap judgment.
Yeah.
Right? In your world with marketing, right, what you do is you amplify, right? You turn that dial up to 11 and you get all these eyeballs, right? But in my opinion, the best marketers in the world, if they're amplifying a brand that is unmarketable,
yeah,
it's futile, because sure, you might get eyeballs on it, but if they're going to bounce off the website, if they're not going to convert, if they're not going to buy your product, if they're not going to talk about you in the way that you want to be spoken about, it's futile. So I think oftentimes it is the foundational stuff. People often don't realize, they think I need marketing.
Yeah.
But really what you need is to have a kick-ass brand, understand your positioning, understand how you talk to people, understand how you provide value to people.
Yeah.
And then the marketing can be turned up to 11 and they got all the eyeballs on you and they're talking about your brand because it stops them in their tracks and they say, I need to talk about this brand. I need to share this with people in my circle because what they're doing is freaking awesome and they look amazing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and again, I can only talk from our experience. We got to a point where I knew our branding needed that moment. So is that something you see a lot? Like, do you see, especially in the agency world, people come to you and they know that now's the time? Because that's how I felt when I knew it was time to look at it.
Yeah. Oftentimes there's these sort of key inflection points in a company's journey.
Yeah.
And again, in our world, maybe they're raising, maybe they are commercializing, they're looking to go to market, they're hiring.
Yeah.
There's all these key inflection points. And that's usually the moment where people say, okay, I think we need some help here. I think we need to do something now. So yeah, they often do come to us.
Yeah.
And there's usually a pain point there, or there's a an immediate goal that they're trying to achieve. And they know that the work that we do can help them achieve that.
Yeah. And I guess the other part to that as well is, you know, and maybe again, it just sits in our world and less so in the world that you're in with tech. And again, tell me if I'm right or wrong, not my niche, don't know enough about it. But in our world, being, you know, a founder, and that founder identity also really dovetails into the brand identity. So it's almost like two identities that are in sync, isn't it?
Yeah.
But does that add a layer of complexity as well? Like, how do you intertwine a founder identity and a brand identity? Because that's an interesting one as well.
Yeah, it's really tough. And again, it's something that is very personal to the founder, right? Again, they might have built their career behind this brand, this name.
Yeah.
And at some point they'll realize that that's not necessarily going to carry them where they need to go. So being able to let go of that and trust that this pivot or this expansion, this rebrand is the right call for them.
Yeah.
But it's super tricky because at the end of the day, this is your baby.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that is your life's work.
Oh, isn't it?
Right. So it takes a bit of gut, right?
Yeah. Bit of letting go.
A little bit of conviction, letting go, and just trusting the process, really.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna lie, it's hard. And you do have to surround yourself with people that want the best for you and know what they're doing, frankly. And they can help you get there. But it's tough.
And in a world that is full of, you know, this morning I was sat on my phone whilst I was having my coffee and I was like, there's just content everywhere right now. Mm-hmm. There is noise. You go on TikTok, you go on YouTube, you go on Insta, you go on websites, like there's noise everywhere. So standing out is so important. And when you go back to that white space piece, again, that is also really important, isn't it? Because every market is crowded, every market is saturated, but it's finding the niche and the sweet spot of how are you going to stand out in that online space? And you guys excel at that.
We're living in an attention economy, aren't we? Like everyone is short for time. And again, everyone is kind of blending in with each other, especially because, like I said, design is, you know, it's never been more accessible.
Yeah.
So everyone is looking the same. They might look equally good. They might look equally mediocre. They might look equally bad. but they're looking the same. So it's pretty simple for us. And it's one of the first tests that we do when we work with a new client is we line up 10, 15, 20 of their competitors. We'll just put them side by side. And what we find is, okay, for an example, if it's in the climate space, everything might be a shade of green. And you're looking at it and you're just seeing everything just blends in, okay? Yeah. So what we do is we look to create an identity that if we were to put you in the middle of that, that's going to jump out at you.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what is happening when people are looking for solutions in your niche.
Yeah.
So again, finding that white space. And there's different ways to differentiate, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be the visual identity. It could be in how you talk.
Yeah.
Right? It could be how you position yourself. So there's different ways to position yourself differently. The important thing is just doing something so that you are distinctly differentiated so that you cannot be compared against the others.
Yeah.
Because when you're compared against the others, that's all you are.
Yeah.
Right? You are one of them.
Yeah.
We want people to come to your brand to go, okay, you're different. What do you do? How can you help me? And now you've got that foot in the door.
And you're a leader.
And you're a leader.
That's why we vibe.
And that's why we vibe. And you know what? It's owning your category that's one of the biggest things that we say that we do. It's leading that category.
Oh, here for that.
Everyone wants to be category leaders, but I don't think most people are prepared for it.
Yeah.
I don't think most people are willing to do what it takes
to get there.
To get there. If everyone could lead a category, they would. But it's hard to do because it does take a little bit of conviction.
Mm.
But the results speak for themselves. If you can lead your category, everything is just downstream from there.
Yeah. And that takes me really nicely into the next point around, I kind of hate the word, but imposter syndrome. I feel like your brand it's your visual identity. It's, you know, like all the things we said, it's how you show up, how you talk, everything about it. Like when I walk into a room, I'm the brand right now, right? So imposter syndrome kicks in sometimes, doesn't it? When it's like, oh God, if you start to doubt yourself and you start to like navigate away from your brand identity and all of those things, that to me is massive when you think about branding, because exactly like you're saying with categories and lots of noise, how do you lead your category? You then have to live and breathe your brand, don't you? You have to become your brand. Mm. And again, maybe that's in agency world only that I'm saying that, and maybe less so in the tech world because they're probably bigger as well. But for me, like imposter syndrome, if I flick and I go into, oh God, I'm not quite sure about our brand, or, oh, I'm not, you know, I don't quite think this is right. That's not living and breathing what we've created and what we've spent so much time and conviction on.
Mm.
So that must go massively into what you guys do as well, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And you do need to take a leap of faith and trust the strategy that you're going into.
Yeah.
Again, we don't do anything blindly, right? There's a lot of companies out there that will design.
Yeah.
Okay, what we do is we take the time to really understand the strategy behind it. And that's what you've got to do. If it's all based on that strategy, or, you know, you've got that's a bit of a wayfinder for you. You know,
yeah.
It's something that you always come back to. And we talk about it all the time with websites, for example. Any design decision that we make, we're always looking back to the strategy. We're looking back to the personas that we've created together. And we're asking ourselves, how does this decision benefit persona A? How does this decision benefit persona B? Because if it doesn't, then you've got to ask yourself that question. Is this something we need to be doing in the first place? Does it require more consideration? Do we have a deeper conversation on this? Or if you say, yeah, absolutely, this is going to solve that problem, or it's going to serve that person, then it's a no-brainer and you've got to do it.
Yeah.
Imposter syndrome, I think, you know, it's easy to compare yourself against others, right? Mm-hmm. Again, I think it's a sign that you are striving for excellence though, because you constantly are sort of fearing, you know, am I doing this the right way?
Yeah.
Right. So I just think that, you know, if you're going to compare yourself, it's so easy to compare yourself against others when you see them day in and day out.
Yeah.
God knows that's so true with design. I look at some of the, because I live and breathe this world, I look at some of the best brand work that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And something that I want to strive towards. But again, equally with there's other, you know, maybe aspiring agency owners, freelance creatives that are considering coming into this world will perhaps look at our work and say, wow, like I want to get to that level. Yeah. So it's easy to compare. But I think, you know, you've got to be on that journey.
It's a journey,
right? And you're in competition with yourself. And I think if you just constantly strive for excellence to deliver the best that you can, that's truly how you own a category.
Yeah. And I totally back all of that because, you know, the best piece of advice I was ever given was if you don't back yourself, nobody else is going to back you, right? So that shows in that brand piece. Like if you take on a new brand or you have a new brand designed for you and you're not like, it's not going through your veins, literally. Like that's how deep this is for me, right? Because I'm so passionate about what we do. But if you don't have that feeling in that brand, you're never going to live and breathe it. You're never going to show up and be fully that brand and own it. You're never going to be a leader in that category. And that's why you guys stood out to me, because I want to be a leader in our category and I want us to be the very best at what we do. And that's why I was like, you guys are the guys for us. So it's that excellence piece. It's that standing out piece. It's that we're not just creating a brand that might see us for a year. We're creating longevity, right?
Yeah.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah. No one wants to be creating throwaway work.
No.
Right? So again, it's one of those things that if you're going to do it, you should do it right.
Yeah.
And also if you want to own your category, I think that you need to be able to stand behind the brand that you're building. That's why we take our clients along that journey with us. This is not a done for you process. This is a done with you process. Like I said earlier, this is your baby. And we want to make sure that you are on that journey. You are creating that. We're creating this with you.
Yeah.
We're just helping, again, to translate thoughts, ideas into something tangible. So by bringing you along that journey, you're building that.
Yeah.
So it gets, you know, it's easier to get buy-in that way, because again, you're building it. So it's easier to get buy-in that way. And it's something that once done, you understood what it took to get there. So now you've got that confidence, that clarity, that conviction behind what you've built. And that will translate into how you show up for your beneficiaries, your clients, your customers. That will show up because now you've got confidence in who you are and how you want the world to perceive you.
Yeah. And it's a really interesting point, isn't it? Because when you think about, so in our marketing world, we call them personas, right? Which is what you just touched on. It's those audience personas. Who are you trying to talk to? Now we call them ICPs, right? So it's your ideal customer profile or customer persona, right? So for us, a big learner over the last sort of few years has been understanding that customer. And I thought I knew what that meant, but over the last 2 years, now I really know what that means. And I live and breathe their understanding. And I think for us, that was a massive turning point of now we truly understand seasonality, peaks and troughs, like their thought processes at different times of years. That gave me like the green light to go, now is the time for you to look at branding. Whether that's right or that's wrong, I think being, you know, truly authentic and real, like for us, that was probably the massive turning point, because you can't be everything to everyone. You can't show up and be 1,000 things. And that's why for us, it was that flipping point for the branding piece.
That's why positioning is so important.
Yeah.
Understanding what's going to resonate with your audience is so key, and it can't be underestimated. So that's why that positioning piece is so important. And again, how your identity translates into whatever the core touch points might be, whether it's your website, whether it's your pitch or sales deck, whether it's your marketing materials, your app, you know, it's you need to understand what's going to resonate with people.
Yeah.
And you're right, you're not going to be able to please everybody. So you need to understand, who is your ideal ICP? Mm-hmm. How do I position myself so that I can speak directly to them, so that when they come, when they land on my website, they feel catered for, they feel like they are home, they feel like this is for them, and it encourages them to keep scrolling past that fold. Then we lead them on into the next section, and then there's a call to action. Yeah. They book that call and then they convert.
Yeah. And do you think, again, in agency world, do you think sometimes we, and I'm saying we because I know I've definitely done this before, overcomplicate stuff from a brand perspective?
It's so easy to overcomplicate.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's so easy to overcomplicate. And that's why people come to us. Again, we work with a lot of deep tech.
Yeah.
We work with a lot of things, with a lot of companies that are building things that are unfamiliar. So they get so wrapped up in the tech jargon of it all. And then they think that that's what people are necessarily going to care about, or that's what's going to make them invest. That's what's going to make them buy from them. So it's our job to simplify that complexity. And how do we distill this real impressive thing that you're building? How do we distill that down in something that is palatable, something that's understandable, something that people can read and frankly just get it?
Yeah.
And it's frankly, it's easier done than, you know, it's all, people think that it must be really complicated to do that.
Yeah.
But it's not. You really, you know, I'm lucky. I get to be the dumb person in the room.
Yeah.
And that's a really privileged position to be in, because I don't need to understand, you know, all of the complexities about it. I get to ask those dumb questions. So what do you mean? You know, they'll say, oh, okay, well, we take this and we put this in this machine and then the output's this. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, tell me, like, you know, what problem is it solving?
Yeah.
And who's it solving it for? So how do we take that really complex idea, distill it down as something that is understandable so that people can go, oh yeah, of course, I get it.
Yeah.
I understand it. And that's why people come to us.
And tech's a really hard industry to like streamline and bring it back to the foundation of, like you say, what's the problem that you're trying to solve and how can we really simplify that?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think agency world isn't quite as complicated, is it?
Frankly, we work with some of the smartest minds in the world. Right, we work with scientists, engineers. They are, frankly, geniuses. But in my experience, they're pretty much hopeless when it comes to how do we commercialize that? How do we take this cool tech idea and how do we turn that into something that is commercially viable? So that's what we do. We sort of bridge that gap between innovation and commercialization.
Yeah.
And that is that's our superpower.
Yeah. Oh, I love to talk about superpowers. That's a strong
superpower. What's your superpower, Kate?
Oh, no, don't ask me on the spot. No, our superpower is being agile, I think. And I always talk about it. As an agency, we move really, really quick. Like, if we have an idea, we've executed it and it's out the door and we've worked out whether it's going to work, whether it's right for our ICP, whether, you know, it's going to land with our audience. And then we've either pulled it or we've carried on with it. So I think as a team in an agency, speed and agility is one of our massive superpowers.
Absolutely. Again, in the world that we're living in right now, it's not just an attention economy. Everything can be done 10 times faster.
Yeah.
And people think that branding takes months. And it can, sure, but it doesn't have to. And we actually work in a sprint-based fashion. So people ask us, okay, well, how long is this going to take? I'm really busy as a founder. You know, how much of my attention is this going to require? We can deliver brands in as little as 2 weeks. You know, we work in a sprint-based model. And it only works like that because we've refined it over time.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything runs like clockwork. We start our sprints on a Monday and we can deliver everything by the Friday. Refinements, delivering all those assets. You can have a brand, you can walk away with a brand in as little as 2 weeks.
I actually think I'm going to put it out there because obviously nobody's seen our new branding yet. I actually think when I got off the call from you guys, like I felt so overwhelmed that you'd absolutely nailed what I had in my head that I had a little cry because I was like, these guys, I feel like have just like stepped into my brain, taken what I wanted and stepped out and like leveled it up. It's just so incredibly powerful.
It is. It's a really powerful thing.
It's a skill. You know,
it's you know, to be able to evoke that type of emotion, that's what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Right. So again, to be able to see something and it just feel right. You've got the vision, you can see where it's going to take you.
Yeah.
It is a powerful thing.
Yeah. And I think as well, you know, and again, a lot of our listeners, so they're agency owners, founders, and they all sit in the same boat as us, right? So if you take your branding hat off and you put your agency hat on of the world that we sit in, it's that you feel as though you're outgrowing what you're showing up as. And that's how I felt. Like, we're at this point and we're doing amazing stuff and our branding is really holding us back. So I felt as though there was that, like, outgrowing the older versions, and how do we then take that next step? And yes, like you said earlier, amplifying and turning that dial up, you know, we talk about that in marketing. You can use ads, you can, you know, turn on all sorts of marketing tangibles and activities. But if the foundations aren't there, which is your brand and your visual identity and you as a founder, what's the point?
You learn a lot about yourself.
Don't you learn
a lot about your business in that time. So, you know, there's a lot of learnings that you can take from perhaps the old version of you or how you used to operate, and you can carry that into the next chapter.
Yeah. And it's that emotional piece as well, because it's less of, oh, this is just what it looks like on paper. I would imagine, and you know from working with me, like, there's so much emotion that goes into branding as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
I remember you saying to me, Kate, you say a lot of I love and I hate. And that's because I think I'm really quick at making decisions, and I can, you know, I can tell you what I love and what I don't like. Mm-hmm. But is everybody like that? Probably not.
No, and it can be a challenge. You're the perfect client, Kate.
Am I?
Because you know what you love and
I'm
you know what
that.
You hate. And that makes our job a lot easier.
Yeah.
It can be difficult because people don't necessarily know what they love and what they hate. Mm. They don't know, you know, what they're really trying to achieve sometimes. So again, that's our job. And, you know, we do, it's a very, our process, again, it starts with that strategy. So we're taking the time to understand that business immersion. We're understanding what business landscape we're actually operating in.
Yeah.
Right? Who's the competitors? Who's the comparators? What are the alternatives? Where else are people spending their money? Not necessarily as a competitor, or are they not spending money at all?
Yeah.
So we understand all of that piece. And then we go into the mood boarding phase as well. And that's a done with you process too.
Love that.
So, and we've actually started, it's a bit of a new concept for us. We've started to ask our clients to do the mood board for us.
Ooh.
And a bit of a new one, but it's working really well. And we guide them on that process. We help them to understand what to look for. And we give them a bit of a starting point on Pinterest, for example. And then they come back to us with this amalgamation, this vision, this messy board of different colors, compositions, typesets, all these different things. And then it's our job to look at that and ask ourselves, okay, what is the client trying to communicate to us here about what they like here? So I'm seeing a lot of pastel tones, or I'm seeing a lot of serif typefaces and stuff like that. So it's our job to distill that down and unpack the different aspects to that vision.
Yeah.
And then we bring that back to the client in a bit of a refined mood board. And then that's the sort of visual anchor that we now work towards. So again, when we deliver that, we can say, look, this is where we started. This is, you know, as a reminder, this is the goal. This is what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
This is what is going to resonate with your ICP. And here's what we're thinking.
Love that. Because again, in agency world, most people are creatives anyway, really deep down, aren't they? And they probably have quite a good idea of the visual piece, or a little bit. At least they'll know colours and stuff. Which is a good point, because it leans me into really nicely. It's like you knew the segue. From, you know, in the agency world, we're not reinventing the wheel. There's thousands of branding agencies. There's thousands of marketing agencies. And what we are doing is, you're doing exceptional work, and we're trying to do exceptional work in our categories, right? We're trying to be leaders, aren't we? And we will be leaders, may I add. But it's the difficulty of being an agency, and I find this is a really interesting one, being an agency, but showing up and not being faceless. And what I mean by that is, and we've spoken about it a lot, haven't we, especially through our brand process with you, to me, the number one most important thing is being human, like being a human being and not having a client go to your website, not feeling who you are and what you do. And that journey of there's a real person there, because in the world of AI, everything could be automated, but being human to me is one of the most important parts. So what are those challenges that come in, especially from a brand perspective, around faceless, probably more so in agency, versus keeping that like core identity of human-led in the brand? It's a really long-winded question, but...
I mean, people buy from people at the end of the day.
Oh, it's like I briefed you to say that line.
People buy from people, right? And again, talk about personal brand, right? That's why it's so important. You've heard the cliches before. You look at Tim Cook's followers versus Apple. You look at Elon Musk versus Tesla.
Yeah.
It's the persona. It's that human face that people can relate to that's going to help to carry that business, carry those sales. So, you know, there's an ecosystem that you can create with your brand, and it's understanding what does that architecture look like. So, for example, you know, we have Yugen Agency. That's how we deliver our work. We've got the Frontier Studio Hours. That's our content engine. That's where we put ourselves out there.
Please like and subscribe.
Please do like and subscribe. It's we're going a little bit viral at the minute, you know.
Are you? Yeah, we're going a bit viral. Let's just talk about that.
Let's talk about that. We've just released a case study, a video of the work that we've just done. It's blowing up, Kate.
Is it?
It's blowing up.
So all of our listeners definitely need to go and listen to that.
It's a really into River. He's so articulate.
We haven't even talked about River.
My boy.
Yeah, let's talk about him.
He's so articulate. He does a fantastic job. He's got a way of talking through. He's the branding guy, can I just add? So you've probably got the wrong guest on here.
Start from the beginning though. Who is River?
So River Page, that's my ride or die. He's my co-founder. He's a great guy. He is a genius when it comes to branding. I'm really from a web and product background. So he's the better half of Yugen Agency. He's holding the fort down while we're sort of dossing off here.
I was going to say, Dorset. Having fun.
he knows his stuff. He is a fantastic guy. He's done a great job walking our audience through the work that we do. And again, helping to explain the commercial outcomes to our work. Sometimes branding can be a little bit subjective, and sometimes people believe that it's hard to conflate it back to an ROI.
Mm.
So what our job is to be able to show just how our work can help you to reach your commercial objectives, and stuff like that. How it can help you reach that Series A or that Series B fundraising round. How it can help you get your first pilots or your first customers, how it can help you attract world-class talent as well. That's something we've not spoken about yet. Having a strong brand and a brand identity really helps to attract that world-class talent.
Yeah.
Because you can't do this alone.
No.
So you want people, you know, they might stay for the culture, sure, but what's getting them in the door in the first place is you showing up in the best way.
Yeah.
So River's done a great job on this video. We're doing a lot more of them because people seem to really resonate with the process that we go through.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes people will see the sexy brand at the end of it. What they don't necessarily see is the messy middle, how we get there and what's driving those decisions.
Yeah.
And when you can understand what's driving those decisions, you can start to see how it might help you and your business.
Yeah.
So go check it out.
Yeah.
Watch that video.
Go and watch that video. And how do they find it? Where do they find it?
They can find that on our YouTube channel, The Frontier Studio Hours. It's also over on our LinkedIn, etc. It brings me back to this ecosystem. Like I was saying, we've got Yugen Agency. That's how we deliver our work.
Yeah.
We've got The Frontier. That's how we deliver our content. We've got Matthew Seagoff, the personal brand.
And here he is.
The C is purely for personal branding purposes. We've got River Page, his personal brand.
Yeah.
So it's that ecosystem and it's that rabbit hole that you want your audience to go into when they're doing their due diligence. And believe me, they are going to be doing their due diligence. If they're considering doing business with you, they're Googling, they're on LinkedIn, they're on YouTube, they're on TikTok, they're on Instagram. They are looking into you. So the question is, what do they see when they get their eyeballs on you, right? We spoke about dialing that dial up.
Yeah.
amplification. What do they see once you've been amplified? Because when they see, you know, our ICP, the people that are going to buy our services, they might not necessarily care about the creative craft that goes into it.
Mm.
But if they see our YouTube channel and they see that this video has tens of thousands of views that people are resonating with, all they need to know is, wow, these people know what they're doing. It's a credibility checker.
Mm.
When they go on LinkedIn and they see you posting thought leadership, they see that you've got followers there on LinkedIn, they see that you have a perspective on the matter,
yeah,
you have something to say, it's credibility.
Yeah, 100%. And also not being afraid to have those opinions as well. I think even, you know, when you think about your branding, again, a really good sort of example of that is we sit in a niche, we sit in food and drink within our agency, and we live and breathe food and drink. And we have opinions within our industry, and it's really important that our brand can uphold, i.e. the way it's visually represented, those bold opinions that we also have.
They really matter. I think if you have something to say, I believe you should say it.
Me too.
That gets me in a lot of trouble a lot of times. Yeah, people will tell you. I've got strong views and I'm not afraid to say them. And again, I'm not looking to appeal to everybody. I probably don't appeal to most, but those that I do appeal to, they're the ones that matter to me. I've got that to say and I'm going to say it. I guess it's about, you know, what do you want to be known for, right? You're in your niche. What do you want to be known for? In the food and drink world, you are the go-to marketing team. You've got the numbers that speak for themselves.
I feel like we're in a workshop now. Honestly, I could totally vibe off it. It is so interesting because, like I say, branding for us is something that we've worked across hundreds of clients with, right?
Yeah.
Within food and drink, outside of food and drink. It's always something that I've really appreciated is really, really important. But I think for us, we got to a specific moment in business where my eyes were open to this is really fundamental to us right now. And for us to go to the next level, this has to happen. And when you go back to process, like River walked me through your process, I was absolutely blown away by your process because I was like, these guys aren't just good, like they are exceptional at what they do. So that's a credit to you guys. Like the stuff you like kick out, which you don't just kick it out, there's massive thought process that goes into it. It is incredible. So I am just putting out there to all of our listeners, if you do not know who these guys are, Yugen Agency, go and check them out. Look at their work. Like it's impressive. It's seriously impressive.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
I'll transfer you that fee.
Barrels.
Look, we're really proud of our craft. It's the most important thing to us. We have exceptionally high standards.
Yeah.
And nothing gets seen by people that we don't put our name to. So, and that's tough oftentimes because again, it means that we are, you know, sometimes brand needs a little bit more time in the oven. It's just how it goes. In the design world, when you're coming up with these creative solutions, design needs space to breathe.
Mm.
And this is what I found as being an agency owner. That's why I need a team to help me, because oftentimes, I don't have the space that design warrants and deserves. When you've got so many different hats that you've got that you need to wear, I'm a finance director.
I'm in HR.
Yeah.
We love those lives.
Chief banter officer.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we are chief banter officers, aren't we?
Chief banter officer. It's these are full-time jobs.
Hold on. CBO.
CBO. Matthew C. Goff, CBO.
Kate Williams, CBO. Yeah. Oh, I can't reach you. Here for it.
Look, it's these are full-time jobs.
They are.
You know, so you... As you know, you've got to wear all of these hats.
Mm.
I imagine sometimes for you, marketing is hard because again, it needs time, it needs solution, it needs thought, right?
And I always talk about my favorite thing when I get overwhelmed. Like you've just said, design, it sometimes need more time in the oven. I need to go and sit in a dark room sometimes.
Yeah.
With no technology, just because sometimes marketing is really hard.
Mm.
We're not like superhuman, right? So showing up 10-10 all the time is not a thing.
It's not a thing. It's got to come from somewhere. And, you know, we are solving problems. That's what we do as agency owners. We solve problems. The design world doesn't always have obvious solutions.
Mm.
So, you know, there'll be times where I might be chipping away at something for a week, 2 weeks, and it's not until I'm in the shower, not to give anyone the thought of me being in the shower. I might be in the shower and the solution just comes to me.
Yeah.
And I said, that's it.
Yeah.
And I'll go back to the desk. I'll get River on the call.
Yeah.
And we'll work through it, and it's there and it just clicks.
Yeah.
So you've got to give it time to breathe.
You've got to give it time to breathe. And I think it's really fair to say that some of the strongest brands that I know and that I love and that I look up to, they're not necessarily the loudest, but they are they have the most clarity. And I think that's so important. And that's something that we've touched on multiple times today. Clarity is key with brand.
Clarity will win 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
That's all we, you know, the work that we do is often the art of removal. Mm. It's subtraction. It's saying, you know, how can we get across our message in the simplest way possible?
Yeah.
So we don't need to, you know, sometimes people will come to us with a grand idea and it's like, you got to strip it back.
Yeah.
We've got to keep it simple. We've got to make it stand out, you know, in its own regard.
And I think that's why, so again, it goes back to when we first met. And I think that's why we get on so well, is because from a marketing perspective, we strip things back. Like, we have clients come to us all the time. There's 1,000 things going on and we strip it right back to the foundations and we go into, okay, let's just lay the right foundations, with branding being key to that, and how can we then amplify it, right? But when we first met, like, I remember we were at an event, weren't we? And you walked in. I think I'd had a few too many gins, actually, the first time we met.
Sounds like you.
Sounds like me. but I just knew that you guys were at the forefront of your industry. You could take stuff out of my head, but also you could understand that foundational thinking. And sometimes I feel as though in the design world that is overlooked.
It's often overlooked. 100%. And Pete, you know, if you're just creating, you know, if you're creating anything without any sort of strategy, metrics, goals, you're creating pretty pictures. And I'm not in the business of pretty pictures, to be honest. I'm here to transform businesses. That's my business, is transformational change.
Yeah.
And sometimes people come to us looking to tick a box, and we tell them we ain't the agency for you.
Drop the mic.
Drop the mic.
Epic.
There will be plenty of agencies that will do that for you.
Yeah.
We're not going to be one of them.
No.
If you want to be challenged and if you want to be pushed to deliver, you know, the best work of your life through our work, then we can have a conversation and we know that we can get you where you need to go.
And I think that's a really good way to end that podcast.
Dropping the mic like that.
You just dropped that mic there. Honestly, thank you so much for joining us.
What a blast this has been, Kate.
Honestly, it's so interesting because it's another lens of agency world. And I know we haven't really touched into, you know, the stuff that we cover on our other pods around agency world and agency life is really hard work. But we talk about that all the time. Like, we have conversations on the regular about, oh, I've just had a really shit day today. We're allowed those, aren't we?
We're allowed those. God knows we all have them.
We all have them. But I think from a brand perspective, it's another layer of why it's so important. But also for me, like, I feel so honoured that you've come on our pod, because you are the best at what you're doing, in my opinion. All of our audience and listeners need to go and check you out. Go and check your work out. Like and subscribe, obviously.
Please do that.
Yeah, please go and do that. And I think you're recording some form of pod that's going to go live after today of some form. So again, keep a lookout for that as well.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much for joining us.
I really appreciate it, Kate. We've got a lot more to discuss. I think this needs to be a little bit of a series, don't you?
Do you?
I'm coming back.
Are you?
I just want to be close to the sea, to be quite honest.
Birmingham to Devon, it's doable.
It's doable.
Thank you for being
here. Appreciate it, Kate.
See you on the next one.
See you in the next one.